James. We're in James. If I asked you, and let me just say it this way, I am asking you, who among us wants to be blessed by God? Would you raise your hand if you want to be blessed by God? If you didn't raise your hand, it's just because you're not a hand raiser, okay? And I guess that's okay. Not my issue. I want to be blessed by God. Of course we do. But I want us to recognize, and James is going to help us see this morning, that it's not a mysterious thing that kind of happens in some unknown way. James is going to address the how of that in James chapter 1, and that's where we're at right now. I've got you there. I might as well get there too. We're in James chapter 1. In the first 24 verses of James's epistle, we've discovered that he's spoken a lot about the Word of God. If we take the time, we'd find Jesus being identified as the Word. That's from John. And emphasizing it all the way down to the jot and tittle, or the crossing of the T and the dotting of the I. The Word of God is a gift from the Father of lights, James 1 tells us, and it's significant. Listen to what David said in Psalm 138. I bow down toward your holy temple, give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. The Word of God is significant. It isn't another book. It's alive. We could go to Hebrews 4 and read about it. It's the expression of God, everything that he wants us to have while we're on this earth. He brought us forth by his word, the word of truth. It says in James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He said in verse 19 that we should be quick to hear, and I think it includes especially the involvement of the ministry of the word, not just learning how to be a good listener in conversations. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear. Don't hear me say that we shouldn't be good listeners in conversations, but I think James is speaking specifically about the word, those kinds of conversations. In verse 21, he says, receive the implanted word, and that's applied by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And this morning, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit, and I say this in a very specific way, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit inspired James to continue to emphasize the word in yet another way. I say it that way because it reminds us that while we have James's thoughts before us in these five chapters, it's the inspired word of God. It isn't just James and what he thought would be a good idea to write. It's the inspired word of God. The Holy Spirit was able to use him and different people and their varying personalities, and yet when their pen or their quill, depending upon what it was that they used, hit the parchment or the paper, the result was the infallible Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and James is a portion of that. And this morning, the emphasis is going to be on being doers and not mere hearers of the word. Now, we have part of that down if you're listening to hear, because we're all here hearing the word of God. Be doers of the word, it says in verse 22. In verse 25, he says, looking into the perfect law of liberty. We're going to talk about that. But I want us to remember that in verse 19, he emphasized the importance of being quick to hear, but not just hear and then leave it there. It's not just that we hear the Word of God, and then we get up and we go to our cars, we load the boxes, we get in, we go have lunch, and we just never even think about it again. It's not that kind of a hearing. Rather, it's a hear it and then to do it, to be submissive and humble and obedient and faithful, and it's walking out what God has said. That's going to be the challenge this morning. Look at chapter 1, verse 22. This is what he said. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So I go back to the question, how many of us want to be blessed by God? Well, we all do. We want to be blessed by God. Why else would we be here other than if you're young or somebody made you come here this morning? But we want to be blessed by God. And then James tells us this is the how to be blessed by God. Not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word that we hear. And so we're going to jump into that just a little bit this morning. He says, be doers, not hearers only. And then he says this, deceiving yourselves. To be doers of the word isn't a new thought with James. We see it several other places in the New Testament. I wanted to read some of those and highlight them. In Romans 2, Paul was addressing the Jews, and he said this, for it's not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. And he finishes in saying, verse 29, you can go to that passage and read 12 through 29 if you want. But he says, but a Jew is one inwardly by the Spirit, not by the letter. And so it isn't that I'm obeying the law of Moses and therefore I'm pleasing to the Lord, but it's the Spirit of the law, and that specifically the Holy Spirit, that helps us to be doers and not just hearers. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does, a doer, the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, so there's a big connect there, will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, they heard them, just like we could hear this morning, but we don't do them. He'll be likened like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We don't want to be in that camp. In Luke chapter 8, when his mother and brothers pressed in to see Jesus, they weren't able to get to him because there was a large crowd there. And so they told him, hey, your mother and your brothers are here. And this is what Jesus said to them. My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Just that emphasis of the importance of not just hearing, but hearing and doing. Speaking of his teaching in John 13, Jesus would say, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And so here we are again. We're back to that. Who wants to be blessed of God? Well, it isn't mysterious and how am I going to get that? He makes it very clear. Hear my word and then do the things that I'm teaching you as well. James emphasizes being doers of the word. It's consistent with other New Testament teachings. And a question came to my mind. How much of a doer of the word am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be a 10% doer of the word? Am I supposed to be a 25% doer of the word? Am I supposed to be a 50% doer of the word? I believed on the Lord and he died and sacrificed a sacrificial death for me. That's one. That's a big one. That's huge. Do I just leave it there? Have I believed on the Lord? And so I'm a doer of his word because I did that. Or is that just getting me in the door? Is that all he wants? Is that all he requires? That's the thought of some that's out there. Let's look at the example of the Pharisees, and Jesus helps us understand how much of a doer of the word are we supposed to be. I'm in Matthew 23, verse 23. Where Jesus says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And whenever Jesus starts off a conversation with woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, it's not going to be a good day for those guys, all right? Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These, the mint and dill and cumin, you should have done without neglecting these, the justice and mercy and the faithfulness. You blind guides strained out a gnat and swallowed a camel. So they did half, or they did some things, but they didn't do the weightier things Jesus says of the law. And he says, don't neglect these over here, but include these over here. We're supposed to be doers of everything that we know of God's word. That's the healthy spiritual disposition. God, you show me, it's in your word. I know you want me to do it. We should be submissive to that. One of the ways of being hearers rather than doers of the word is to pick and choose what we hear and do. They heard tithe, the mint and dill and cumin. They didn't hear justice and mercy and faithfulness. And so some of the things that are a little bit tougher that we might not want to hear or that we wrestle with, we choose not to hear. none of us are perfect in our walk, but it seems spiritually unhealthy to try and justify why I don't do something that Scripture addresses by simply saying, no one is perfect. I'm not Jesus. That is not a good spiritual disposition. We're not going to be perfect, but my desire should be, God, grow me and make me submissive and everything that you want me to be. To the Pharisees, Jesus said, you hypocrites, do these things, but don't leave out these other things. You're straining out a gnat and you're swallowing a camel. You're straining out the smallest thing. You're concerned with the minutia details of things, but you're forgetting these sledgehammers over here that are knocking you down every time. And he said, because of that, you're a hypocrite. I want to give you the example of Haimundu. And I've given this before, but it fits here, and there are a lot of people who haven't heard it. Raimundo was a Brazilian man who lived in Jijoca, and Raimundo had a brilliant mind. He had gone to school a little bit. Actually, when we got to Jijoca, none of the children that were in the church were going to school. All they had for school in Jijoca was first through fourth grade. So if you were going to go to school, you had to go live with an aunt or a grandma in another town, and the moms and dads didn't see it significant enough to send their kids to grandma's and grandpa's or aunt's house, so none of the kids went to school. Raimundo had a brilliant mind. He could memorize things like no one. But Raimundo had a significant sin issue, and he knew it, and he knew that I knew it. And I sat down with Raimundo one day, and I said, Raimundo, when you read the Word of God, how is it that you can justify what you're doing when you recognize that it's completely contrary to the Word of God? And this is what Raimundo said. Raimundo said, Pastor, he said, So Jay, when I read God's Word and I know that the next chapter is going to speak about it, I don't skip one page, I skip two pages. So he knew what was in God's Word, didn't want to be confronted what was in God's Word, knew it was there, so he would turn two pages, two chapters of the Bible, so he wouldn't have to be face-to-face with the truth of the Word of God. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Do we want to be blessed of God? Now, we would never turn two pages of our Bible, but I wonder how often we might turn two pages of Scripture in our mind when we're justifying something that we're doing. And Jesus said to them, hypocrites and fools, these you ought to have done without leaving these things undone. We want to be very careful so that we can be completely blessed of the Lord. A healthy spiritual life is a life that hungers. Brian read it this morning. A healthy spiritual life is a life that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Not perfect. We're not going to get there. We're still in these human bodies. We understand that. It ought to be a process of sanctification where we're going forward, and sometimes we fall backwards, and then we get up and we go forward. Understand that. But there should be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, not just a, well, I'm not Jesus or no one's perfect kind of a mentality. James says that we need to be careful that we're doers of the Word. Obedience to the Word, someone said, is the most basic spiritual requirement and is the common denominator for all genuine true believers. The bottom line of spiritual life is not a momentary feeling of compliance, I prayed a prayer, or a commitment, but a long-term obedience to Scripture. So when there's a genuineness of spiritual life that's there, we should see, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the life of the Word as we submit ourselves to it, that there's this desire to want to grow and continue growing in righteousness. And then when we find that we've fallen down, we get up and we repent and we ask the Lord for the strength to grow again and go again. And so we do. John in 8, chapter 8, said this. Jesus said to the Jews who were, this is interesting. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31. 1 John, by this it's evident that we are children of God, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So it isn't just that I hear or I had some momentary submission to it, but it ought to be the norm of my life. Those who practice righteousness, is not, those who do not, are not of God. First Peter said this, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall." And these qualities refers to the verses that were before them, where it says, add to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. If we practice those things, we're going to be strong in the Lord. John also said in 1 John 2, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a" what? Do you know what that next word is? He's a liar. He's deceiving his own self. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. There should be some level of hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving is a word that means miscalculating. 2 + 2 = 5. Well, it doesn't. Not even in our world today, when people might be offended at number 4. Okay? 2 + 2 = 4. To deceive yourself means that you're miscalculating, or you're misreckoning, or you're reasoning falsely. It would be Haimundu saying, "I think I'll be okay because I don't actually read that verse, but I'm just going to skip over that chapter and go to the next one. And I'll focus on the 90% and leave that out when it's God's wanting to work in his heart along those lines." That's deception, miscalculating, misreckoning, reasoning falsely. James is telling those among the 12 scattered tribes that if they're not doers of the word but hearers only, that they've miscalculated who they are in Christ, and for some, maybe, if they are in Christ. And I think that if James were able to speak to the church here, or if the Lord were able to speak to the church here today, that it would be the same message. Either we're doers of the word and not hearers only, or we have miscalculated who we are in Christ, misrepresented who it is that we are in Christ, and that we're fooling ourselves, and maybe some especially even that they're not even in Christ. If it were true in James's time, it's probably true today also. Through Joshua, the Lord declared this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do, doers of the word, according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." I want to be blessed by God. What do I need to do? James tells us, Paul tells us, Jesus tells us, Joshua tells us, be doers of the word that we're hearing. The doer puts the word into practice in their life. They continually grow in their understanding of it. It's a lifetime pursuit. I'm never going to reach the end as long as I'm in this world. Any response to the word other than unqualified obedience would be me deceiving me. Okay? My response, a healthy spiritual response, is always, "Yes, Lord." Always. Even when I don't know what he's going to require of me. My response should be, "Yes, Lord." All right? It would be me deceiving me. I can't blame the devil. I can't blame the world. I can't blame you guys. It would be me deceiving me because I'm not lining myself up under the truth of the Word of God. He gives an illustration. Chapter 1, verse 23. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." Intently, to observe, to take note, to look closely, to bend over and get as close as you can so that you're able to perceive everything that you're supposed to perceive of a particular situation. All right? It's the same verb that's used by Luke to describe Peter when Peter bent over and looked in the tomb to see if Jesus was still in there. So while I'm studying this particular illustration this week, I'm reading and I'm typing because I've got all kinds of programs on my Bible. So I'm reading, I'm typing, and I'm reading something. And I just reach up and I grab my neck and I'm rubbing it. And I noticed that there was a little bump on my neck. I mean, not a big bump. I mean, I'm talking like one of those little bumps, all right? And when you're my age, a bump could mean nothing, all right? Or it could mean something. But I felt it, and it was different. And so I got up, and I did exactly what he was talking about without even thinking about it. I went to the mirror, and I looked into that thing so I could look out of the corner of my glasses, and I just kind of stretched that thing, and I saw what that bump was. And I did what I always do. I just squeezed it with all of the strength that I've got. And then I walked away and I forgot what was there. That's what James is saying is the person who hears the word of God and doesn't do the word of God. We don't want to be there, but we find ourselves there. So let's own it when we do, and let's be especially careful if that's the bent of our life, because it screams something of a spiritual warning. James says the hearer is the guy who listens to the word, knows the definitions, might consider the Greek words, understands the grammar, can tell you where it's at, but doesn't do what it's saying. He's the hearer, he's not the doer. We can look really sharp and really intelligent, be real theological, and not go out there and do what it is that the word says that we're supposed to do. And James says that's a warning sign that ought to be going off. When it speaks of forgiving others, he justifies holding a grudge. When it speaks of give and it shall be given unto you, he rationalizes why he can't. When it speaks of walking in biblical morality, he uses the arguments of the day to explain away biblical morality. When it speaks of loving others, he says he does, but in reality, he loves those he chooses that are easier to love, and on and on and on. We hear it, but we don't do it. And James says, you be very careful. Be a doer of the word. That one deceives themselves. Can't blame Satan. Can't blame the world. It's a reflexive pronoun. It's something that I do to me. I can't do it to you. You can do it to you. Deceive yourself. I can't deceive you in this way. And that's what it is. When I'm a hearer of the word, but not a doer. He's exposed to the word. As soon as he walks away, he forgets it. This is the epitome of lifeless, meaningless religion. And that's the people that James is talking to. Some of them. Check out your spiritual dynamic and make sure that you're in Jesus' 12 tribes scattered abroad. That you're not just believing and not doing the things that he desires. And he addresses this idea of meaningless religion in verse 26 and 27. This isn't something someone sets out to do. It's the byproduct of religiosity without Jesus Christ. And you can be in a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church and have religiosity that is empty and dead because there isn't a personal response of being a doer of the word and just being a hearer only. The contrast is what he does next, which leads to God's blessing. Look at verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, perseveres, being a hearer, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in what he's doing. He's speaking about the word and being doers of it. The law of liberty is described as the perfect law. It includes the Old Testament law. He isn't referring to Moses' law all by itself. It includes Moses' law, but it's more than that. Just because we see, and we got to be careful, just because we see the law, the word law mentioned doesn't always mean that it's referring back to the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. You have to look at the context. It includes the gospel of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. It also includes all of the biblical application about the gospel that's given in the epistles. Here James calls it the law of liberty. He uses the same phrase in chapter 2, verse 12 of his epistle. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. Just as being doers of the word, James is not alone in that phrase. He's not alone in the idea of the law of liberty either. There's a word, and we're going to look at a couple of verses that speak of this liberty. It can be translated liberty. It can be translated freedom. It's the same word. Especially, listen to this, especially with a freedom applied to being a slave. And so that's what he's talking about here. Romans chapter 6 comes to mind. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That's what Jesus set us free from, being slaves of sin. And that word free is the same word liberty and the same word freedom that we're going to look at in a couple of other verses as well. Galatians chapter 2, this is just to show us that James isn't alone when he speaks of this law of liberty. He says in Galatians chapter 2, he speaks of false brothers who secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom, that's our word, that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. So what James is talking about here, about this perfect law of liberty and being doers of it and not hearers only, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Chapter 5 of Galatians, for freedom Christ has set us free to stand firm, therefore don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. He continues, you were called to freedom, brothers, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So the forgetful hearer would hear about this freedom, yet not serve other people. All the while justifying why they couldn't serve others. I'm too busy, it costs too much, it's inconvenient, I'm not gifted that way. It starts out with one, and then the next thing you know, I can't serve others, and I can't do that. And then it just kind of becomes the thing that defines my life. I'm not one who serves other people. So now I'm a hearer of the word rather than a doer of the word, and that's what James is warning us against. Peter said this, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. The doer of the word looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and it could very well be translated the law of freedom, and perseveres. They continue in it. They remain beside it. They abide in it. It isn't that I did it one time and I'm good for a decade. It's the bent of my life. It's the heartbeat that I have because the Spirit of God's there. The forgetful hearer forgets it, walks away, and doesn't even remember. Come to church, hear a Bible message, leave, wasn't that wonderful? Let's go have breakfast, let's watch the Chiefs, let's go to work, let's go on vacation. Never thinking about who I am in the Lord. The doer seeks to grow in the word and to submit to it. It's important to emphasize here, and I want to do this. It's important to emphasize that being a doer of the word is more than just my willpower. It's more than just your willpower. You could hear this today and say to yourself, man, I'm going to go be a doer of the word. God's word says, James wrote, be a doer of the word. Don't be a hearer only. I'm going to tighten my belt. I'm going to roll up my sleeve. I am going to go be a doer of the word. And it's willpower. And that, don't hear me say willpower involved and included. But if I'm not connected to the power source, I might start out well, but I won't end well. I might start out good and strong and go for a week or a month or two, but the next thing you know, there's that serve other people, and that's inconvenient, and it costs me too much, and I really don't want to, and I really don't like doing that anyway, and that was one decision, and then it becomes two, and then 10, and then I'm just back to being a hearer of the word, but not a doer only. So willpower is involved, but it's much more than willpower. It involves engaging my will, humbling myself, recognizing I have a Lord and a Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be a doer of the word is only possible because of who Jesus is and what he's done for me as his follower. That's the only way that you and I can be doers of the word and be consistent at it, is because who Jesus is and how he's empowered me to be able to do that. Jesus' words when speaking to believing Jews, this is kind of complex. When he was speaking to believing Jews, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 8. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. I think he'd say that to us here today. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's that word, law of liberty, liberty, freedom. And the truth shall set you free. And they answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you will say we'll become free? Now, Jesus didn't address this, but I find it interesting. At that very moment, they were slaves to Rome. They'd already been slaves to the Medo-Persian government. They'd already been slaves to Babylon, but they said, we're not slaves to anybody. Jesus didn't choose to address that. He had a higher goal. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave doesn't remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The law of liberty, the law of freedom. Jerry has, and you have, as a follower of Jesus, the ability now to do what it is that God asks me to do. Before, I didn't even care. If I would have cared, I wouldn't have had the power to do it. I didn't even care. But today I have that ability, not because of who Jerry is or a position that he has, but it is a position that I have, but it's not pastor. I am a child of the living God. I am a co-heir with Jesus Christ, as are you as a follower of Jesus Christ. You have the ability to be and do everything that he desires. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, not because my words find no place in you. I find that interesting because at the very beginning, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, and now he's saying to them, but you're going to seek to kill me. So is he speaking to them? Is he speaking to them as a nation? Not really sure. I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. And that would be your father, the devil. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. But I want you to hear this. You are free indeed to be a doer of the word. Everything that we find in Scripture, God has enabled and empowered us to be pleasing to him. We're on a growth process. And sometimes we fall down, but we get up and we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we have the wherewithal to be pleasing to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't know if you believe that. Amen? All right. Get Kukuvi up here. He'll really get you riled up. That's just kind of what he does. We sing a song about being free in Christ. And as I go over my notes on Sunday morning really early, and I waited until 7 o'clock to text Terry. And I said, is there any way we could work this in today? And he was kind and compliant. It's moving. It catapults me into worshiping the Lord. I hope it does you as well. But it's the only possible reason that we have the ability to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's because we've been set free from by the Son. Amen?